Peter said in 2 Peter 1 verse 12, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of the things, of these things, though you know and are established in this present truth." What Peter said is, I know you already know this, but I'm going to remind you anyway. And moms and dads have done that 1,000 times, you know, to their children. I know you know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And that's what Peter does here. You can flip over to the book of Jude, and almost the identical thought is conveyed in Jude chapter 1, of course, verse 5, where Jude said, "I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." So again, Jude is saying, I know you know this, but I'm going to tell you again. And because there are things that we just need to be reminded of. And it's not that I think we have forgotten these things, but just by remembering, it just brings it to the forefront and gives us something to work on as we go through this week. Brings to, you know, I need to be thinking about these things. So I have three things I want to share with you tonight that we need to think about. And I know you know them, but I'm going to share them with you anyway. First thing is this, turn in your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, and this is the thing that I want to remind you, you can fall. The Apostle Paul says, if you think you stand, you better be careful. You better take heed lest you fall. And we have seen that played out so many times. You can see it played out in the sports arena. You can see it played out in our Christian lives. You can see it played out in somebody that just gets a little arrogant at work or whatever, thinks they're all that and more, and then something happens, and usually people stand back and laugh when it happens because, you know, he had it coming. Well, the Apostle Paul says, I want you to pay attention, because just because you stand today doesn't mean you'll always stand. You can fall. That possibility is real. I like sports, of course, and so there are things with regard to sports that kind of capture my attention. And I remember back in 2004, there was a guy by the name of Matthew Emmons. Now, that probably doesn't ring a bell to you at all. But it should, because he was an Olympic gold medal winner for the United States, just in kind of one of those off sports. He was a rifleman, and he won a gold medal in like a 50 meter standing or kneeling kind of a shooting. But he was also competing in a competition where they get about 50 meters away and they shoot at a target, and they do it from three positions, lying prone, on your knee, and standing. He was so far in first place. He was about to win the gold medal. He had one more shot to take, and he was so far in first place that all he had to do was basically hit the target, and he was going to receive the gold medal. He had already received one gold medal. And so he takes careful aim, shoots bullseye. I mean, right dead center. And they flash the gold, the first, second, and third place people up on the board. And the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and his name was eighth. And he couldn't figure out, why is my name eighth? I hit a bullseye. But here's what he did. He shot across the lane. You know, they shoot kind of like when you go to a bowling alley. That's what we're familiar with. You know how there are all these lanes? And he shot, but he shot the target in the lane next to him. And just carelessness. You know, when he lowered that rifle down, he shot at the wrong target. He thought for sure that he had won the gold medal, and he didn't even medal because of his mistake. You see, you can be on the top of your game and end up with nothing. Overconfidence can sometimes can destroy us. I hate to hear stories like that. I feel sorry for the people that are involved in them. But that's life. People sometimes fail. I remember in the 2006 Olympics. Do you remember a lady, Lindsay, I can't remember how to say her last name. But she was they brought the X Games into the Olympics and they do all these, snowboarding. She had won every medal there was to win in snowboarding. She gets to the Olympics and she is so far ahead of all the other competitors. I mean, they're not even in the screen. It's just her running down the hill by herself. And she has two more jumps to make that are little ramps that you might, almost like what you'd build in your backyard for your bicycle. This was just a real simple kind of a race. It was more about speed than flair. And so here's what she does. She gets to that last jump. And she decides to kick her heels up behind her back and reach back and grab her board and showboat, you know, and act, you know, real cool and fancy. And she did this move and she fell. She got back up, had no momentum because she was in a dead stop and started herself going. She still won the silver medal. That tells you how far ahead she was. But she missed out on the gold medal because she was showboating. That's not what you do in that competition, but she was so far ahead, she thought, I can do this, I can pull this off, and she didn't. And it cost her. And I'm just saying that happens all the time. There are people that are not in pews tonight that used to be in pews, but they have fallen. And I remember, or you would remember, a time that when they were here, they had no intention of falling. They were very dedicated to the Lord. They wanted to do right. They obeyed the gospel. They made their life right. They gave themselves to Jesus, and they were setting out on a course to follow Him. Where are they? They didn't do all of that with the intent to someday quit. They fell. Other things crowded Jesus out. It happens. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, and also Philemon 1, the only chapter, verse 24, there are two references to a man who was called a fellow laborer with Paul, and he sent his greetings in a letter to the folks. He was a worker. He was right there with Paul doing work and doing missionary work, and Paul, you know, what's it like to have your name written down with Paul, you know, to rub shoulders with him and to work with him as a companion? Man, that's something else. I work with the Apostle Paul. But you know, by the time Paul writes 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, oh yeah, Demas, you know, the guy that I wrote, oh, he was one of my fellow workers. He helped me. I've mentioned him in two letters that I wrote, but now he's nowhere to be found. He's forsaken me, having loved the present world. Even godly men can fall. And I just want you to remember that. Don't think that you're above temptation. Don't think you're above giving care and not giving leeway, We need to slam the door shut on some things. We're not strong enough to try to walk the edge like we sometimes try to do and think, oh, it won't affect me. I can get this close to sin and I'm all right. I know I'm on the edge, but I can handle it. No, we can't. We're human and we make mistakes. We're frail and we sin. And a few years ago, I went to visit a man. He was a preacher, former preacher. He had written a book that was probably, well, I know we have one in the copy back here in the library. And he sold thousands of copies of this book. It was an expose of a religious body and very helpful, a very good book and used brotherhood-wide. This man, who was once that, I went to his house one day to visit him because he was unfaithful. Myself and another preacher went to his house, and he was living in what I would call a shack. It probably had two rooms. It looked almost like if you were standing on the outside and you pushed real hard, you could just kind of, it would just fall, the whole thing would just wedge over. Went inside, when he saw that we were at the door, he was sitting down in the chair and he said, "Come on in." When we opened the door, the smoke billowed out of the house. I mean, it was, we were coughing. It was hard to even breathe. The smoke, the cigarette smoke was so strong. And he was sitting there drinking a beer. And we're there to try to talk to him about his soul. He's a preacher. He knows the truth. I didn't need it. There in the corner of the room was a bed, a makeshift bed that a woman that he was living it with at the time was sitting on as he was sitting in the only chair in the house. And we try to have this conversation about his spiritual condition as he is drinking. And I noticed as we were talking, I looked over in the corner of the room, which was a very small room, and he had boxes and boxes just stacked up to the ceiling. And I paid attention, and I could see in the stenciling on the side of the box the name of the book that he had written. They were books, thousands of them, that he had no place to store, I guess. And what it reminded me of was just a vestige of what he used to be. He was a faithful gospel preacher. He had written a very helpful, worthwhile book. And now he's living with a woman, living in sin, and has no intention of changing. How does that happen? How can a man who knows better and who's contributed so much end up there? And by the way, he died there, outside of Christ, had nothing to do with the church, living with a woman, died a drunkard. And you think, how does that happen? Won't happen to me. I don't think he ever thought it would have happened to him, but it did. How many people do you think there will be in hell someday that say, "I knew better. I had the truth, and I let it slip out of my fingers. I gave it, I let go of it so that I could hold on to this," and tell me, I mean, right now, what is it that has pulled you, if you've been pulled away from God, what is it that has tugged at you where that you have let go of Jesus so that you could hold on to this? What is that thing? Pride, lies, you know, what is that thing that you're holding on to? 5 minutes into hell, will it be worth it? I don't know anybody that would say it would be. So we need to give heed. Be careful. We can fall. That's a life lesson that I need to learn. When temptation comes across our path, when we're making decisions that put us close to the edge, we need to remember what Paul said. Don't be foolish. Take heed lest you fall as well. Here's a second thing that I want to remind you of. And that is that as we go through this week, let's look out for the interests of others. If you have your Bible, you might want to open it to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He said, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." As we go out this week and try to be followers of Jesus and lights of his to a world that is lost in darkness, let's pursue the interests of others and not just ourselves. Do you work with somebody that you can make a difference with? Do you go to school with somebody? Is there someone in your family that you can reach out and get outside of yourself and do for them? Can you do it for your mom and dad? Can you do it for your children? Can we treat each other and those out in the world? Can we do something that is in their best interest and not mine? I know it's easy to look out for our own. We do that all the time. But true greatness and Christ-likeness is when I set myself aside and say, okay, I know what I want, but I'm going to say no to myself today, and I'm going to do this because it makes a difference in his or her life. That's what Jesus did. He came to this earth, and everything about his coming was within his power to choose. He could have chosen air conditioning, running water, the 21st century as opposed to the first century, no running water, no air conditioning, and all that kind of stuff. Everything about his choice was not about him. It was about us. It was just the right time, in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4. Jesus left heaven and came to the earth and lived among us. And it sure wasn't for himself. It was for us. So let's work on that. Let's remember that. As we go forth this week, let's look to the needs of others and put others ahead of ourselves. I love the story. And I'm sure you've seen the video. It's been around a number of years now. But it's one of those YouTube videos that keeps just kind of recirculating every once in a while. But there's a guy by the name of Jason McElwain. He has autism. But he loves basketball. And he's been a manager of the high school basketball team as, you know, he would go, you know, give them a towel when they sat down and get the balls gathered up when they were warming up and those kind of chores. And it was the last game of the season, and his coach said, I'm going to put him in and I'm going to let him play. And they had decided to do that, and apparently the student body was informed. So they had made signs. You know, they had all kind of, like, Jason's face on these little things that they held up. The whole student body was just waiting for him to get into the game. With about 2 minutes left, the coach calls down for Jason. The coach told him he was going to let him dress out like he was going to be a player instead of just the manager. And he was thrilled with that. I get to wear a uniform. And so he was dressed out on the bench, and the coach looked down and said, Jason, come in. You're going to go in for so-and-so. Can you imagine? He didn't probably even know what to do. You know, he didn't run plays or anything. They put him in, and the guys on his team, there was like 2 minutes left in the game. The guys on his team began to feed him the ball, and he wasn't shy about shooting. Because when he got it, off it goes, and he hit a three-pointer. And the place erupted. I mean, this kid hit a three-point shot. And they threw him the ball again. And he hit another one. And 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 another one. He hit 7 3-point shots in less than 2 minutes. That boy scored 21 points in 2 minutes in a high school basketball game. And that place went crazy. I mean, they picked him up on their shoulders, and it's emotional to watch. You know, I've seen it 100 times, and every time it's like, wow. You know, how they did all this for him. The game was in hand. It wasn't on the line. He didn't win the game for them, but they made sure he felt like he had done something special, and he had. Let's treat each other that way. Let's go out of here this week and treat people like they have done something special. That's what Jesus did. He lifted up people that had ordinary lives and maybe below average lives. People that society disdained, they snubbed their nose at, they looked at them as trash. Those are the people that Jesus lifted up and saw to their needs. a woman caught in adultery that is humiliated in front of all these people, Jesus shows her respect and gives her dignity and sends her on her way saying, sin no more. Let's do that. Look for people. Don't let it be random, but make it intentional that this week I am going to look out and serve and do good for somebody else. I'm going to get outside of myself and look out to the interests of others. That's what Paul tells us to do. And here's the third and the final one. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 tells us that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And sometimes we get that mixed up and we weep when others rejoice and we rejoice when they weep. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Jesus wants us, Apostle Paul speaking by inspiration says, I want you to find reason to rejoice with other people. Right now, there are some illnesses among us that a lot of people are dealing with, families here are dealing with. Don't let them suffer alone. Don't let them think that life goes on and we're not paying attention to them and that their suffering is unnoticed by the rest of them. If someone's suffering, suffer with them. If it just takes a phone call, an email, a card in the mailbox, but just let them know. We're thinking about you. Our heart's broken with you. We're concerned as well. That would mean the world to people. And on the other hand, there are things that are constantly going on here that are worthy of praise, and good things are happening and rejoicing taking place. Don't let people rejoice by themselves. Don't let people think that when something great happens in their life that nobody else cares. Nobody's interested in my life. I just had this happen to me and no one said a word. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We need to be reminded of that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we're still carnal, fleshly. If there is envy and strife and division among us, he said, if you guys are doing that, you're just behaving like mere men. We're past that. We're children of God. And we need to be concerned about and looking forward to and rejoicing with others' successes. James chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. That's interesting. Where there's evil and where there's envy, there's evil. So as we go forth this week, let's rejoice with those who rejoice. Three reminders that I just think would be helpful. Reminders, we already know. I know everything I said tonight, and so do you. But let's just maybe bring it to the forefront. Let's give care to the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves. Let's not think we're above falling, because we're not. Let's look out for the interest of others. And let's share in the joys and in the sorrows of our brothers and sisters. In so doing, we'll be Christ-like. But I want to remind you of one thing. Being Christ-like is not the same thing as being in Christ. And there may be someone here tonight that is a very good person, very Christ-like in their behavior and in their attitudes. That's all good, but that doesn't save. What saves is not being Christ-like, but being in Christ. And the way we get into Christ is through baptism. And if you've not yet been baptized tonight, why don't you make that decision to be in Christ? And then as a child of His, live like Him. If we can assist you in that tonight, we would be happy to do so. And if you're in Christ, but you're not Christ-like, maybe you need to change that and repent and pray for forgiveness. And we'll pray with you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.